Okay, thank you, David. First, somebody burp. Is that me? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. You think I'm picking up off of that? We okay now? Can't you just tell from what I'm thinking? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Now, you'll see in the division of chapters, chapter divisions are very helpful to us, and normally they get them accurately. The original, of course, wasn't written in chapters and verses. That was divided up later so we could find places better. But you'll see this passage really goes into chapter 11. Verse 1 of chapter 11 should be in chapter 10. So I'll read through to chapter 11, verse 1, starting at verse 14 of chapter 10. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. For eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but the one, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And in verse 1 of chapter 11, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful to you because the freedoms you've given us in Christ are that which we're made to live. Well, we're not made to be in bondage to sin that is destructive to us. So help us to live our liberty, to live our freedoms in the proper way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The common belief about idolatry is that you have to be in some remote part of Africa to practice it. If we lived in Africa, we might have a totem pole that we worship. We might make an image of a face in a piece of wood. But being in America, we're beyond that. Being in a civilized country, we're not prone to idolatry, because who goes to anyone's house and finds any kind of idol there? We don't have those. So the thought is, yeah, those missionaries, they run into idolatry when they go and visit these dark countries where there's still not the light of the revelation of God in the gospel. But we're safe. We're civilized. We have electricity. We're modern. And yet, idolatry was a problem in Corinth. And Corinth was a metropolitan city. Corinth was right there in Greece, where everybody passed through, both on land and sea. They got the most traffic. They had the very modern city for the time. They were full of religion, full of people, full of commerce, full of money, all the influence. And like other great cities, full of idolatry. In fact, you could make the argument that modernization actually increases the prospects of committing idolatry, because there's more to worship, not less. And so the Christians in the Corinthian church practiced idolatry. Now, whether they meant to or not is debatable. I think at times they went in with their eyes open. At times they went in with their eyes kind of fuzzy, closed. But still, we see that they were careless. And in their carelessness, they did what was wrong. And they committed idolatry. It's like if you're going home and you see a driveway, and you go, that looks like it's easy to pull into, and then you just pull into that driveway and it's not your driveway. The Corinthians were careless, like the church today. The church today is probably as careless as at any time in, recent history. There is this lack of a mentality to fight. There is this a lack of care and discernment. And you can fool a Christian in the 21st century easier than you could fool a Christian in the 20th century. We become more careless. And the Christians in Corinth were careless. They would fall into things, we might say, but they were actually choosing a path that perverted Christian liberty. And Christian liberty has been the situation we've been talking about since chapter 5. Because that was very much into the mentality of the Corinthians. They were free. They celebrated their liberty as they should. But they pushed it beyond liberty to licentiousness. Licentiousness is a sin. It is pushing liberty to the point of immorality. A person who is licentious, dictionary definition, is that they're aggressive and selfish in the pursuit of their desire, regardless of what morality says. They're not hindered by laws. They're not checked by right and wrong. They want something, they go for it. And in fact, they consider it an expression of Christian liberty. People today consider it an expression of Christian liberty to hop from church to church. They're free to go to whatever church they want to. That's true. But then they use it under the cloak of, well, I'm free, and that's all they think about. Or they're free to read other books or watch other TV shows. That's absolutely true. But then people push it to where they fill their minds with error and not truth. And they pervert their liberty. The Christians of Corinth were pointed to by Paul to Israel. Israel in the wilderness had all that revelation, all those privileges, and they failed. And the Corinthians were going down the same road. So verse 14 brings us the subject of this passage. Flee idolatry. The commandment in verse 14 is to flee it. Idolatry in Corinth was both threatening and practiced. It was a threat because the city was in an idolatrous place of worship. There was a temple there. Several false gods were worshipped in Corinth. And so all those people passing through by sea and land brought all kinds of religion, all kinds of beliefs, and in order to get along in society, the Corinthians would intermingle with everybody. And that in itself is not a sin. We do that. We have to. You go from here to your home, you're going to pass by people. If you knew everything that they practiced, all the religion that they had, all the beliefs that they had, the churches and the religious buildings that are around here, there are numerous ones of them. There are places you can get your palm read. There are places you get your fortune told. There are places you can hear about other doctrines. You can hear other religions. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Christian. You can be a Jew and practice Judaism. Just anything you want in this country. And in Corinth, this is what they had. They had whatever God you wanted, whatever God pleased you, you could find it in Corinth. And the belief then was in the part of the Corinthians is that when they mingled through, they just mingled through and didn't think about it. It just didn't matter. They were free. And of course, this is where the problem comes. Idolatry is condemned in the first two commandments of the Ten. The Catholics make, as I've told you before, the first two commandments into one commandment. Because the Catholics like to use relics and images in the worship of God. You know, if you go to a Catholic church, which I do not do, but through history, Roman Catholicism was connected to icons, pictures, little things like the rosary that you could use, different images that you could look at and gaze upon. People are always going to, in Catholicism, people are always going to places where they had a picture of Mary that wept, things like that. It's important to some religion to have some physical object. And so the Catholics, uncomfortable with the second commandment, make it part of the first commandment and make it just that you can worship the true God with idols. But the Bible in the Ten Commandments gives two commands at the very beginning. One, you shall have no other God before me. God is to be the only God. There's no other God, no other place in our heart for any other devotion except to the Lord. There are many gods in the world, but we're not to have any of them. And the second commandment is that we're to make no graven image of God. We're not to make any image by which we may worship the true God. The first commandment is that all the gods in the world, all the gods of the nations that are idols, we're not to have any of them as our God. And the second is that we're not to make a picture of God so that we might worship God better. Because think about it. What exactly picture of God would you make that would be worthy of God? If I were to draw a picture of me with my skill, you've seen my skill of drawing, the result would not be something I would want to be on my driver's license. This is how I look. Because I'm just going to look terrible. And the Lord's glory is such that He does not want us to worship any other god, and He forbids it, and He does not want us to make an image like Him. That's what, remember in the wilderness when Israel sinned, which Paul just referred to Israel in chapter 10 earlier. When Israel sinned in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, they made an image of God, a calf. That's what they thought God looked like. That was their representation of God. Now, if I were to do that with Cindy and say, I want to make a representation of you and made a cow, what is she going to say? Oh, you honor me so. No, she's going to say, no way you did that. So that's why there are two commandments there. You don't worship a false god and you do not worship the true God with an idol. You don't put a picture of God there in front of you, whatever you imagine it to be. You don't make an image of God. You don't make a molded image of God. You don't make a graven image of God. You don't make any kind of representation of God, and then use that as a worship of God, because that is not God. And every time the church has done that, or every time Israel did that, even things like the serpent, they ended up worshiping the thing and not God. It's easily transferred to the object. And so it perverts the glory of God. And God, when he talks about this sin, says it is because he's jealous. Look at Exodus 34, verse 14. God is a jealous God. Now, God is not this petty jealous like some people can be. But God's jealousy is pure. It means that God has no place for rivals. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. When we say the Lord's name is jealous, that is his nature. To be jealous. Not all jealousy is sinful, because God is jealous. And we defend with our whole lives those that we consider to be ours. A husband and a wife are very understandably upset if either of the others brings someone else into the relationship or goes off to someone else. And the Lord is that way. The Lord is a jealous God. His name is jealous. And he does not, Isaiah 48:11 says, share his glory. The Lord does not pay us with sharing his glory. He says in Isaiah 48:11, for my own sake, for my own sake I will do it, for how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another. Cindy wanted to do some things around the house the other day and wanted me to bring the ladder to the place where she wanted to do it, and I carried the ladder there. And when she was done, and she did a good job, and I said, but give me some credit because I carried the ladder there. Well, God doesn't want to consider a sharing of his glory. The Lord does not share the glory of his nature. The Lord doesn't say, I did part of that, but now somebody else did the rest of that, or I needed their help, or that's kind of like me, it's okay, I understand you made an effort to portray me in the proper way. None of that does the Lord want. He protects his glory. Now, our world has a very light respect or strong disrespect for the character of God. They don't care. And many Christians don't seem to care. We're a diverse world. We celebrate diversity in our day. It's a religion. We're so different, and we celebrate differences. We celebrate differences so much these days that children can be wrong on tests, and we want to change the test to make them right. Now, they don't want to celebrate Christians in that diversity thing, but you know, we're just a diverse group. So we celebrate people being different. And when people consider God, they're just not real excited about protecting his nature. Our nation's a melting pot, and we're proud of it. We're proud of having so many gods and so many churches, and we have freedom of religion. We should. And I'm all for that. Doesn't mean every religion's right. You have a freedom to do a lot of things. Doesn't mean you're right. If you choose a religion based upon the fact that we have the freedom of religion, doesn't mean you pick the right one. Just means it's up to you. The responsibility is laid upon you, and that's the way it should be. I'm fine with that. We should always have that. But our nation is more offended by truth. And if truth steps on people and what they chose to do on their own, they get offended. They're much more offended by their own choice being violated than they are about the nature of God being violated. We're fine with violating God. We're fine with dishonoring God as long as we're properly elevated. And so when we talk about idolatry, people cannot even imagine it being a problem. If I want to choose another God, what does it matter? Well, it matters because the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, and the second commandment, you should not make a graven image of any god, of God to worship. So idolatry is a serious sin. And so when he says in verse 14 to flee idolatry, he's not just on a side issue. This is a core issue. This is a heart issue. This is a central issue. And so we're commanded to flee from it. It is that kind of sin. Things that don't matter, you mingle with. Things that don't matter, you hang around. You're not worried about. Things that are serious, you leave. Get out from under. Went out to have the old Camry looked at by Tony two weeks ago. And you know he's got that lift there at his garage. Up it goes. And he got under that thing. I said, I wasn't going to get under that thing. I'm not getting under that. I mean, he was okay under it, I'm sure. He got under it, looked up. I'm not getting under that thing. You know what? In my mind, if it was on the ground when it started and it got up there, the most natural place for it to be is right back down there on the ground. And I don't know what safety things are built into it. But if it fell down, I wasn't going to be under it. I consider that to be an urgent thing. And I don't want to be part of it. Whenever I've been out, especially when I was a kid, and either cutting grass or walking through creeks and the golf course, or, you know, I was always mindful of yellow jackets. I never had a blasé attitude about yellow jackets. The reason I didn't have a blasé attitude is because I got stung about 6 million times one day by every yellow jacket in Polk County that happened to be in that nest that I ran across in the thrift that was at my grandmother's house. And they got all over me, and after that I had a very healthy respect for yellow jackets. You say yellow jackets might be over there. I never said after that, well, that is not a big deal. It's a super big deal. Idolatry is a super big deal. And the world looks at it like it's a big nothing. The Greek tense here for flee is present active. It means keep on fleeing. Flee and don't stop. It's like you run away from something, you never stop. Whenever I ran away from Yellow Jacket's nest, I did not stop till I was a long way off. And even then I figured one of them followed me. He says, get away with it. It's not something to compromise with. It's not something to mingle with. It's not something to let rub off on you. As a Christian, we're to shun idol worship, stay away from it, not find ourselves in it, not stumble into it, but run and keep running away from it. One thing that always frustrates me, probably you too, about politicians is that they say one thing and then do something else. You can't believe, increasingly more, you can't believe anything they say. Not one word. And it's because they are not able to say they believe something and stick to it. They talk about they're against Obamacare, fine, I am too. And then they'll kind of nudge up with it and compromise with it. And that's what's so frustrating. And what Paul is saying here is when you consider idolatry, you cannot make any kind of compromise with it. It's odious to the Lord for us to chum up against others and commit idolatry. People who are lightly committed to the Lord drift into idolatry very easily. They're not watching themselves. They don't care. A lot of people find their religion that way. They meet people that they like, and those people have a religion. They like those people. Therefore, they just kind of merge into a false religion. The same thing could happen and was happening, I believe, in Corinth. So the command's a serious command not to intermingle and fall into idolatry. Now, MacArthur mentioned several things. Let me just quickly note a few that we commit idolatry in some ways we don't think about. Libeling the character of God is idolatry. If we say God is something other than He is, if we wish God was something other than He is, that's idolatry. We're making God something He's not. He mentions even if we don't trust God after He said He's going to provide, or if He's going to do this or He's going to do that, then that's libeling God's nature in a form of idolatry. If we worship the true God in a wrong way, that's idolatry. A lot of churches do that these days. In order to attract people, they've compromised the message. They don't want to talk about God too much. They don't want to talk about Jesus too much. They don't want to talk about the Bible too much because that offends people. If you're ashamed of God, that is a form of idolatry. You're making another God, a God more palatable to people, rather than saying what He's like. You imagine God something other than He is. Like a husband with his nice brunette wife imagining that his wife was a blonde. And he says, when I think about you, I just imagine you as a blonde. That's a good way to get your face slapped. She doesn't want you to imagine her as something other than she is. And so worldly practices that people accept or used. Any physical aid, of course, is a violation of the Second Commandment. Any icons and relics and pictures, any kind of ritual. Worshipping any image is idolatry, of course. Worshipping angels, Colossians 2, they were warned about that. Worshipping demons is idolatry. Worshipping dead men. A lot of people worship dead men. The Catholics have a whole saint registry, and they pray to saints. Protect us, old Saint Christopher. He's dead. You can't be protected by that. Any supreme loyalty to anyone other than God in our hearts is idolatry. Even covetousness is idolatry. Greed is idolatry, where you desire money more. So how the Corinthians became idolaters here is probably just in the way they conducted themselves, in the way they viewed their Christian liberty. They weren't careful about their associations. Now, this comes out in other places, in 2 Corinthians especially. They were not careful about their associations. They just went along like they're free to go here and they're free to go there, and that's true. But then they would fail to keep their devotion to the Lord. Paul says in verse 15, he's speaking to them like they're wise. Of course, that's giving them a big benefit of the doubt. And what they did was they perverted Christian liberty to the worship of idols. And we see that through the text. He's arguing with them and presenting a case to them that the practices that they have in mingling with their society is actually idolatry. Now, they could go to public places. They could eat meat sacrificed to idols sold in the marketplace. We saw that in chapter 8. But they pushed Christian liberty to idolatry by engaging in meetings, public meetings that were actually the worship of idols. And they couldn't just sit there and say, well, we're not worshiping the idol. We're just in the presence of those who are. Several years back, a candidate in Minnesota running for a senator, he was already a senator running for re-election, he died. And so they had a funeral for him, and it was during the campaign season he had died. And during the funeral, the memorial service, a bunch of people started campaigning for him, for the person who was going to come in behind him. It was very inappropriate, and people walked out, because they were there for a memorial service to a dead man. And they turned it into
a campaign rally. And the people there weren't there for that, and they didn't support that, and so they went out. The Corinthians would go to these public places. And imagine, we go somewhere to hear someone sing. There's just a public gathering, and they start talking about how we should all, right then, get down on our knees and face Mecca and pray to Allah. What would you do? It's no longer a music festival. It's now turned into false worship. And you got to get out. And the Corinthians, well, I'm free. I can just go to these places. If you worship with pagans, you worship what pagans worship. That's what Paul says here. Notice how he makes the point. Verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. So he's saying there, when we have communion and we recognize the body and blood of Christ, we are all participating in that worship of Christ. Then he mentions Israel. Verse 18, observe Israel after the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar. The sacrifices are made and people eat of what was offered, and they're all one in that sacrifice. Verse 19, what am I saying then, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to an idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. So we know that what the Corinthians were doing is they were in their freedom to mingle in society. They weren't limited. We're not limited. We can go wherever. They weren't limited in who they could interact with. It wasn't like the Jews, where they weren't supposed to be in the presence of Gentiles in many cases. But we were free to go with wherever we want to go. And they would go there and they would participate in worship with other Gentiles who were lost. And Paul says, you know what they're doing is they're sacrificing to demons. And if they're sacrificing to demons and you're there in that assembly, you're sacrificing to demons, is what he's saying. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons, which is what they're doing. If they're in the service and it turns into that, they're committing idolatry, which they're supposed to flee. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? And I'm going to stop there for this morning. Are we stronger? Do we not fear the Lord that we provoke Him to jealousy? We should be scared to death lest we do that. This is what they were doing. They pushed their liberty to such a degree that it was all about them. This is exactly what people do today. It's all about what I want to do. And as long as I'm doing what I want to do, that is Christian liberty. No, that is not Christian liberty. That is license, licentiousness. Christian liberty does not violate the glory of God, and it does not fail to edify other people. That's what we'll get to. Lord willing, as we come back to this and finish next time. Because where he's heading is, verse 31, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either the Jews or the Greeks or the church of God. Just like Jesus did. Jesus came for us. He sacrificed for us. They're pushing their liberty in such a way that it violates the glory of God and the well-being of other people, believers and unbelievers. And that is a violation of Christian liberty. Let's pray. Or may we be mindful of, although we're in a society that's pagan, that we're to maintain our Christian heritage and our Christian beliefs. And we're not to compromise and commit idolatry, but to have no other God beside you. And Lord, although it's not a thing that many people think we can even do these days, because it's some jungle somewhere they do it, or may we be fearful
of any form of idolatry and flee it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.